Seek the great desire of nations. Ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Let us pray together. In the honor of our gathering, in the grace of us being together in your love, and in the power of your Holy Spirit that have gathered us into this space, may we worship you from the center of our very being, feeling the power of the Holy Spirit in our heart, soul, mind, and body. And may we, on this day that we come, to hear the scripture read, to hear it proclaimed both by word and by music, and to receive your communion, may we come and partake in a way that honors you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing hymn number 245, The First Noel.
Seek for a king, was there.
and turn to page 8 in your Nine Methodist hymn book. And as you turn to that, hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So I've now sung 19 verses of the first Noel this morning. No, we had it all three churches. I chose the other two, so it's all right. And the Pleasant Hills hymn book had 7 verses of the first Noel. The last one I had never heard of in my entire life. It sounded nice, though. And so we had that. So I think I've got the first Noel down. Before we do prayer requests, let me tell you where we are. You are technically in the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Epiphany was the 6th of this month. That otherwise is known as Christmas to the Orthodox Church. And so they have had their Christmas. It's interesting, if you really want to press this, you could have Christmas on the 25th at our church, at these churches. Then you could go to an Orthodox worship on the 6th and have Christmas again and worship with them. And just out of curiosity, how many of y'all have ever been to an Orthodox Christmas service? Anybody been? If you've ever not been to an Orthodox Christmas service, I'm not trying to get rid of you. Because I don't have anybody to get rid of, so you've got to come here first. But you would enjoy tremendously their worship experience on Christmas for that. And so you really would enjoy that time. So I just suggest to you, one year on the 6th, it's a holy day for them, so no matter what day of the week it falls on, they're having worship on that 6th. To go and to be with that, I think you would fully enjoy it. But just out of curiosity now, choir, let's see how y'all doing. Hey, Mom. You're sneaky. And so what's our next big church date that we have to think about? Y'all know? No, you can't answer. You've already heard the answer.
But I knew it earlier before you.
That's okay. Let's see if anybody else knows. Y'all know what comes next? Ash Wednesday. That's next. It is, I don't remember the date, but it's 6 sermons from now. And so that's how I know when it is, because I've already prepared those sermons. And so it's 6 sermons from now, then we have Ash Wednesday, and then you're in Lent. Yep. And then 40 days later, not counting Sundays, you have Easter. And how do I know this otherwise? Because we're already practicing the Easter Cantata. And there's a lot of men part in that Eastern Cantata. Have you noticed that, Larry? Mm-hmm. We need to recruit. Okay. So the first prayer request is, if you can sing, man or woman, we would love to have you in the choir. We got space for you. So come and join us if you feel led to do that. Other requests that you would have, we say to you to pray for our daughter Cindy. You've heard this before. But she is now in Florida, and her husband has abandoned her and left, and she's there with the 3 kids by herself. And so you might imagine we've been involved in that heavily over the last few days. And so know that that is going on. And so pray for us as we go through this time, that we help her make the right moves and not make them too quickly or hastily, but as she should be making them. So pray for her for that. Other prayer requests?
I have 2.
I hear a voice. There we go.
I have 2. I have 2 friends in Michigan.
that are older women getting to the end of their lives. And so one is Arda and one is Jan. And I would like prayer for them.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Can you remember mom?
Yes, she's not with us this morning, not feeling well still.
Just coughing real bad.
Okay.
And Brittany's sick now, too.
And Brittany's sick, too, huh? Mm-hmm. I'm not coming to y'all's house, but I hope she...
I don't want you.
Yeah, but I'll pray for both of them to get much better. All of them to get much better, because once one gets it, they all get it. Others, yes, sir. So Karen's uncle, Indiana, and she's driving up in this mess. So we'll pray. We'll pray that it stays rain for her, not that other stuff. Like children.
Absolutely.
We've got one at home I call my comfort dog.
Well, that's
right. She's about this big and she weighs 7 pounds and she loves snuggling with her human daddy. So, yes, I understand. Trust me, I do. Any other silent requests that you have that you want us to pray without mentioning names? Anybody? Okay, well, let us pray together. The Lord's Prayer will be done at communion. So, pastoral prayer and a silent prayer to start. You, O Lord, walk a journey with us. A journey that does have end of life involved in it. But that doesn't mean that we don't pray for the joy of those days, for the excitement of living during those times, and for family and friends and the comfort of relationships that give us hope, sadness as we prepare for those times, but yet excitement to live those times for as long as they go. And sometimes we're surprised by how long and how fruitful those times can be. We do pray, O Lord, that you be there in that journey. As you're in the journey to Indiana, that you drive and that you give comfort and that you let time go well, journey go well, and that arriving in the peace of your spirit and a very safe journey is what happens. And then the time there is a time of rejoicing in the midst of sorrow and finding hope in the midst of loss. And then as we pray for family, you gave us donkeys that speak when we don't know how to listen. You give us animals that we find comfort in and joy in. We pray for the comfort there, even though people would say, well, that's not important, but yes, it is. It's beyond important. That's why we even have services for animals at their passing. We find the power of your Spirit in those places, along with family that we pray for, in healing of ourselves that only you can give. We know, O Lord, that you grant us a walking with you in the midst of all of our journey, both the positive and the negative, and sometimes the negative that becomes positive, and that you walk with us in healing. For those who have requests upon their soul that were not mentioned, we ask, O Lord, you be with them. Now allow us to worship you, honor you with who we are, and comfort you in all that we do. And may this worship time be set aside to fully give us a grace and a strength that only you can give. We offer this prayer in the name of the one that died on a cross, was born in a manger, and lives today, Christ our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. It's getting harder on me.
Please stand with us again as we sing We Three Kings, page 254.
Oh. guide us to thy perfect light.
Morning, gentlemen. Let us pray. May the God who gives us life give us the ability to give back only as God gave to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Loving hearts enthrone him. There shepherds, God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him loud, the favored Son of Mary.
Good job, Steve. Can you start that board?
Our reading will be found in the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to revert back to almost Bible study process here this morning instead of sermon, although it will be sermon in many ways. And we're going to read verse to verse and discuss things instead of reading everything at one time. And I'm going to give the choir time to matriculate back to the sanctuary. Matriculate's a good word. If you don't know it, go look it up. And so, hopefully, they're coming back. Did they go outside the door and just gone? Well, I know Mary's still here, so I know Larry's coming. Yeah, they'll be here in a minute. Did y'all have a good time while I was gone? We might as well talk about it in a second. Did y'all miss me? We missed y'all. This time last week, we were driving back from New Orleans after our time down there at the Sugar Bowl. This is why I probably can't talk that well, but it's worked out pretty well. So we had a great time, and Gracia got to see a dome, sweet dome. It was a good time down there, so we enjoyed our trip and had a good time with it. So, but always glad to be back home. And then, I guess while we're waiting just a second more, you know, one of the saddest things for me, the end of Christmas and the end of time with Epiphany beginning is in the church, is taking down the decorations. Well, y'all miss them as much as I miss them. Aren't they great? And a certain person's not here today, so I can't get in trouble for him for mentioning how good they look, along with everything else that everybody's done. So this has also been a fabulous thing to see. So, do what? They leave the garland up. I ain't going to be out with me. I mean, what are they going to do to us? You know, and so, all right, I think everybody pretty much has made it back. We're in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 1. Let's pray together. May the gift of the star overwhelm us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to preface this to you this morning by saying, over your lifetime in church, you have probably heard the story of the wise men at least every year since you've been born, right? Believe it or not, over 50% of people who attend church now have never heard the story of the wise men. That's how it's kind of gotten. And over 75% of the people in the world itself have never heard this story. So pastors have to always be careful in what we're doing, because we always assume a reading of something that y'all know. And I think most of y'all know, but many people don't know this story. So you can know that that's true and how it happens. But you've heard this story, and you've heard at least how many times the term wise men still seek him. And then we became more politically correct later and said wise people still seek him. And it becomes a seeking story for wise men in the sense of this reading. But I want us to look at it and let's take it and examine certain parts of it. Now, my goal at the end, at the beginning of Epiphany and the end of Christmastide is not to ruin your Christmas. But I want us to take part of this and look at it. And I guess not mess up your Christmas story is what I'm trying to say. Let's look at it and walk through it. So begin in verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men, magi in some texts, from the east come to Jerusalem. Where are they coming from? Coming from the east of Jerusalem or Bethlehem, right? I challenge you to go home and get a map out and see what's east of Bethlehem. How many of y'all know what's east of Bethlehem? Go look. Because we've got this view of who these supposedly are men that are coming and doing this, of who they are, what they look like, who, you know, and all those different things. Go look what's east of Bethlehem when you get them. Just get a map. Don't do it now, but go get a map and look at it. But they're coming from the east. Notice it doesn't say were from the east. It is from the east. And it could be East Bethlehem. We don't know. Probably Father meant. But think of the process of this. They're coming from the east to Jerusalem. Now, he's born in Bethlehem, but they're following it to Jerusalem. Now, watch it. Asking, where is the child who is born King of the Jews? Well, we figure these are not all men because they've asked for directions. And men don't all ask for directions very well. So it's got to be other people involved in this group. And so you've got them all gathered here together and they're asking. And notice what they've done. Now this is interesting. This text is a little different than one I read from earlier today. For we observed his star at its rising have come to pay him homage. Right, they observed the star in the east, in its rising. Okay, now think about it. The sun rises in the... Where do stars rise from? It just gets dark, right? And they're everywhere, right? But it, because they're coming from the east, we'll work with... In the east, some of the older texts, the older manuscripts will say from the east, but start its rising, and they've come to pay him homage. Some say worship him. So watch how it unfolds. King Herod heard this. He was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. This is a simple sentence that gets people all confused on many occasions. The rest of Jerusalem's concerned is because Herod is not the nicest of human beings. He has been known to impale people and put them on sticks out front of his house for light. If he's upset, everybody can be upset. There's a reason for his for everybody upset with him. So he calls all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and inquired them where the Messiah, in this text, was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. Now here's the prophetic word. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel. How many times has Jesus talked about being the shepherd of the people? The sheep will know my name. How many times does he make those statements? Get this. The prophetic word, as they're coming to see the Messiah, the prophetic word said he's the shepherd of the people. And it all references around Israel. One of the issues with this, though, is if you truly believe they're from the east, the wise people who are coming are people who are not Jewish, but they're from another group of people, another set of people. And if you understand that, then you understand that as we walk through the Christmas story, you've got shepherds first, who are not the best of people in the world, and you've got people who are not Jewish coming to see him next. That's your two sets of people. At his birth and at his childhood, the opening to the world to know Jesus Christ comes from the very essence of the story. So now watch it. Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Now, the Bible needs to do something for me here. I mean, it obviously doesn't have to, but I wish it would. I wish they would tell us the answer. He asked them a question when the star appeared, but guess what we don't have? We got no answer. Because the next words are, then he sent them to Bethlehem. Now, he knew to send them to Bethlehem because his guides, his priests, his people who lead him to understand the Jewish people, tell him exactly what scriptures say. Herod doesn't know where he's been born. He gets it from them. They share the information with him. So we get this set of information set aside, and he learns it, and he tells him that, and he sends it to Bethlehem, but we don't know how long the star has been up. Now, let me ask you a question. I hope it's a common sense question. What happens to stars at night, in the daytime when the sun comes up, or star comes up? What happens to them? Are they still there? Can you see them? Huh? Telescope you can. Not with the naked eye, but with a telescope you can. Very important. They don't go away. Right? But you can't see them. So during the daytime, I kind of doubt the wise men had the telescopes to do it, but they might have. I mean, we don't really know what they had to be able to watch. So here they are, and they're following. They go, and they have to stop in Jerusalem, because that's where they're led to, because the story has to involve Herod. And we all wished it didn't, if you read past this, to the killing of the children 2 years old and younger. But it has to involve Herod for this to follow through. So they come, they follow the star. They get there, so he sends them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. Now, let's be clear here. The wise men at this point do not know what Herod's planning. They find out in a dream later to go home a different way. They're following the leadership of the ruler of that area, and they have to for their own safety. They're doing what they're supposed to do, and this is the direction they're going. So they're told to go search diligently. Now, they finish with Herod. So when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had seen at its rising. Now, notice the process. Seen at its rising. This text reads it that way twice. When the star comes up, they follow it. But now notice the difference. Huge difference comes here. They set out. When they had heard the king, they set out there ahead of him with the star that had seen its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. In the trip to Jerusalem, they have a star they're following, and it takes them to Jerusalem. From the trip to Jerusalem to Bethlehem, the star is not only visible, it is a moving star that goes from Jerusalem to Bethlehem where they can follow it to a specific place, and they know exactly where Jesus is because the star stops above where Jesus is. The configuration of the understanding of the star changes. One, it's a star they follow at night. They know where it's headed. They see it. They go with it. The other is a star that specifically, whether it be daylight or dark, and more than likely, they're not looking for him diligently in the dark. They're following this star to the place where Jesus is, and that star stops there. Now, scientifically, we know it is impossible for a star to go from one place to the other and you to follow it to the place where Jesus was. That is a scientific impossibility. Now, who made the stars? If God wants a star to go from one place to another place for us to follow, then the star will lead us where we want to go, where God wants us to go. We don't have to worry about God being able to go against what science says. And there's nothing wrong with science in this. Science is what science is. But God created science. God gave us the knowledge of what we know about science. So if God wants the star to start here and stop there, guess what? It can happen. And I love it when people say, well, David, that's an impossibility. Okay. That's right. It has to send you, son. That's exactly right. See, he's going to preach the end of my sermon. You don't come up. Hold that. You're used to Bible study, thank you. I wanted that. That's what I'm trying to get people to see. See, this is where we're at. So they follow. So stay with it a second. Now, here's the part that I always mess up your Christmas. I'm sorry. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down to pay him homage. I love the manger scene, don't you? Don't you love it? We got Jesus, we got Mary, we got Jesus, we got Joseph, we got the angels, we got everybody hanging out in the manger. Trouble is, the wise men are there too. They show up in a house. It's much easier for the plays with the children to get them all in one room at the same time, isn't it? And so that's one of the reasons we do it. But the book is pretty clear. Jesus is in a house. Now, I want to get one scenario in front of you just for fun. Jesus has been born in a manger, stable, animals. Well, they're there for what? The census, right? They come in for the census. Do you think they hung around Bethlehem for the next 2 years just for fun? Or do you think everybody went to the house after the census was taken care of? So all of a sudden, all these full rooms and these full homes are now empty. I can just see my Mary Lynn, looking at me and going, hey, David, this manger thing's been okay. Been pretty cool. Like the animals, great adventure, love the shepherds. Find me a house to put my baby in and do it now. And I don't mean 3 seconds ago. This has been nice. I want a home. Want a room. Quit fooling around. They're all empty because where's everybody went? They went back home because they've done their census. So they moved to a house. See, we work under a theory, and it's okay. It's a theory we have to work under because it's all we got. That's the reason I wish they'd told him when the star came up. Herod, later on in this chapter, will have all the children 2 years old and younger, male children 2 years old and younger, killed. So we make an assumption that being in a house, that happened either from the day after they moved out of the manger up until 2 years, because that's how he had the children killed, to make sure he got everybody, so Jesus had to be killed in that. He doesn't know that Joseph's been warned to go to Egypt. All we know is for sure is that it could be the day after and the wise men find him. It could be 2 years later and the wise men find him. But the fact is, they find him in a house, and they get there, and when they get there, pick back up, on the end of the house, they saw the child with Mary's mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. They worshiped him, paid him homage. And they opened their treasure chest, and they offered him gifts of gold. Joseph doesn't know, but he's getting ready to run to Egypt. How's he going to pay for that? You think they're going to let him in Egypt for free and give him a home and a place to live and set him up in a shop and let him start doing carpentry work for nothing? Guess what he's given? Gold. Frankincense. Given to a king to show who Jesus really is. And myrrh to prepare him for his burial. All laid out in front of them by the three wise people who show up and give these gifts. So that the Holy Family can go from this place to the other place and have everything they need, everything they're ever going to want for, as they prepare to come back after Herod dies. The gifts are given. So you watch it. They open the treasure chest. They give this to him. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left by their own country by another road. They got out of Dodge going a different direction. Now here's the part I want to finish with. Who provided the star? God does, right? Who gives the path and interacts with Herod and lets them get out of Herod's presence and go see Jesus? God does. Whether it's a star that's 50 foot wide and 100 foot long, it sits in the size of the star of the one in our sky, or whether it's an understanding of the star that guides us through the Holy Spirit. The star is a gift from God. Because see, what we forget, while the wise men pursued the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to pay him homage, and that's true, they would not have known how to get there if God hadn't gave them the light to get there. They would have not known who they were seeking if God hadn't given them the knowledge to know when they found the baby, this is who they were looking for. See, what we forget so often is that God gives us the ability to do, God gives us the air to breathe, God gives us the direction to go in, but there's one thing we have to be willing to do. Now, just think about it. The star had shown up for the wise men. And we've even known as far as name these wise men. And we don't even know where they come from. But we've done this. Star shows up to the wise men. And the wise men look at it and say, well, that's nice. And they go back to their own business. Shepherds hear the angels and say, you know, I got a job to do. I got to take care of the sheep. God can show us all God wants to show us. And God can pursue us all God wants to pursue us. But if we're not willing to answer the calling, then guess what? The miracle won't happen. For every one of us in this room, every one of us, no exceptions, God is calling you and is willing to open the door, show you the light, and give you the gifts that you need. In fact, I would argue to you that God is doing that every day. But are we willing to accept the star, the voices, the leadership of God? Are we willing to follow the star? Because God seeks us even before we know to seek God. If you look on page 15 in your hymn books or on the screen, we have our great Thanksgiving. Come on. I'll be reading parts that's not in your hymn book, of course. Because we're doing the great Thanksgiving for Epiphany. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life to the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us a breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise men to where Christ was born. And in your signs and witnesses in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast in his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." For those who are going to come and assist, I'd ask that you would come. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Which one would you use? Do you want to pick one? Sugar. It doesn't matter at this point. It's all right. Come as God leads you. Let's partake of the Holy Communion together as the family of God. been a great day to be here together. I would say to you, go in dryness if you possibly can, because it's been raining out there. We may just want to decide to stay a while and visit. Our closing hymn is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We find it on the screen. After that, we'll have our benediction, our choral benediction. Let us stand and sing together. Well, as we're now in Epiphany and go forward, may God's grace walk with you. May you enjoy your journey to Ash Wednesday and then the journey to Passion Palm Sunday. Lent, it will be upon us before we know it. And you'll hear me say, what are you giving up for Lent? And then I will suggest to you we give up things other than what we typically do. Some people love, I mean, I could give up coffee without any problem. I don't drink it. I may ask you to give up things that you really like things that stick in your mind that you can't quite let go of. We'll talk about that as we go into that season and prepare ourselves for it. Let us walk through this journey. And remember, the star is right in front of you. Go in peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go now in peace. The love of God surrounds you everywhere you may go.
Go and